Welcome on, Senior.
Thank you, Teresa.
We are in show volume 3, number 27.
Yeah, wow.
We are. We're moving along, and I don't know how many shows we'll get out of this series, but I know how many chapters you have in the book, but not
right,
how many
yeah.
shows we make out of that.
Well, we'll see about
but
that. Yeah.
We're having fun going through it.
Yeah.
So what's today?
Today we're going to talk about Catholic high schools.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Yeah, it is. It really is. You know that high school itself is a rather late phenomenon. It began developing in the late 19th and throughout the 20th century. Before that, instead of having high schools, colleges had preparatory schools. They would prepare you for college. And we have a couple examples here in St. Louis of that, and we'll talk about both of those.
Mm-hmm.
But fact of the matter is that in the late 19th century, not many people went to high school. Statistically, only around 6%
wow.
Actually went to and finished high school. There was a lot of opposition to high schools, believe it or not, among the socialists and the working class. They felt that high schools were for the elite academies and that there was too much money spent on those beautiful buildings. And if you look at St. Louis high schools, at the turn of the century, last century, there are some really beautiful buildings. Some famous architects, a man by the name of Ittner, for one, designed a bunch of these schools. But they cost a lot of money. And then you ended up having to hire really high-paid teachers, mainly from the East Coast
sure.
and the Ivy League schools, because not just anybody could teach in a high school. So that drained money away from the great schools and away from the new phenomenon that socialists love, which is the kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, of course, St. Louis had that. So by the time you get from 1900 to, let's say, 1920, the percentage of graduates from high schools went from 6% of the population to 17%.
Wow.
Almost tripled in just that 20-year period. So we can see that they're coming along. Archbishop Glennon understood this very well, and he wanted to expand high schools in the archdiocese. And so in 1910, he relieved Father Aloysius Garthofner and asked him to be the first superintendent of schools.
Okay.
And so the first thing he did was he started a study, and he found out that a lot of Catholic kids in the 7th and 8th grade were leaving the parochial schools. They were going over to the public school so that they might then go ahead and get ready to go to high schools because they're almost all public high schools. You know, so and then he did a survey of the high schools that are available to St. Louis Catholics. And this is what he found. For one thing, he found Chaminade, mm-hmm. a brand new school. It was only 1 year old. But the Brothers of Mary had founded that one. At the same time, you had St. Elizabeth's Academy. That goes back to 1882. It was an all-girls school. Well, then they looked at St. Joseph's Academy, and that goes back to 1836. Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet, but it's all only for girls.
Right.
Ursuline Academy, founded in 1848, of the Ursuline Sisters, again, only for girls. Visitation Academy, 1844, the Visitation Nuns, only for girls. Loretto Academy, 1874, and of course founded by the Sisters of Loretto, only for girls. Then you had three Academies of the Sacred Heart, each of them founded by, of course, the Religious of the Sacred Heart. You had the one in St. Charles, which dates back to 1818.
Right.
And we just celebrated that bicentennial. That's the oldest girls' school west of the Mississippi.
Wow.
You know, and it really some phenomenal. Then they also had another one in the city itself called Maison de Vie, or City House. And that was founded in 1827.
Wow.
And then you had Maryville, founded in 1872. They're all for girls. There are no boys' schools in any of those. Now you
That's
did
so surprising.
Isn't it something?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it came as a surprise to Father Garthofner also when he realized this. You do have a couple parochial high schools.
Okay.
And they're relatively new. You had Saints Peter and Paul, which was founded in 1902. You had a male and a female division of that. I don't know who taught in the girls, but ultimately the Brothers of Mary taught for the boys. And this was Father Franz Galler who had founded that, a big lover of education. You also had St. Mark's had their own high school, and that was founded in 1910. and St. Francis Borgia out in Washington, Missouri. And that was founded in 1910 also. So you got a real problem with boys.
Yes.
You know? Now, there are two schools that had male-only preparatories. These are preparing young men to go to the university.
To college.
Yeah, to college. One of those is going to be St. Louis University.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is a Christian Brothers College.
Sure. Okay.
And that's located at the time on North Kings Highway. St. Louis University has now moved out to Grand Boulevard, where it is today. And those are the only two that you have the possibility. So Father Garthofner wanted to establish high schools, and so he creates what he called the Catholic High School Association. And the idea there is to raise money for the archdiocesan high schools and then to encourage kids to come to these schools. The biggest problem was that if you love Catholic education in 1900 or 1910, you're already sending your daughters off to these other schools. You're not going to support the diocesan high school. And the boys are going off to those two preparatory schools. And okay. So he had a hard time trying to convince people to do that,
sure.
to support the schools, and then also had a hard time to convince the pastors, too, because a lot of the pastors felt that as though that if their children went off to a diocesan high school, they would have a greater loyalty to that high school than they would to their home parish.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just ended up with a lot of difficulties. What he does then is he opens up three archdiocesan high schools in 1911. Each of them are very modest. He takes Saints Peter and Paul and has that under the direction of the Brothers of Mary.
Okay.
Okay. And about this time, Father Galler dies. I don't remember exactly when he dies, but he's very old at this point. The other one on the north side was called Saint Teresa's, and that was under the leadership of the Sisters of Saint Joseph of Carondelet. And then on the south side, St. Francis de Sales opened a high school, and that was under the direction of the School Sisters of Notre Dame. And so basically, with the exception of Saints Peter and Paul, all he had that first year was just freshmen.
Okay.
Now, Saints Peter and Paul had already been operating for a couple of years, so they had been full-fledged. And so at the end of the first year, combining together all of three of the archdiocesan high schools, they had a combined enrollment of 125. That's it.
Wow. That was a rough start.
Yeah. You got to be pretty modest on that. And then he also took a look and saw that these 125 children, they came from 36 different parishes.
Wow.
So it's pretty
That's
spread
a lot.
Out.
Yeah.
1 year later, when they began the second year, they're going to go from 125 to 196.
Okay.
But these will be freshmen and
sophomores. So you
yeah.
have 2 years of students.
Right.
So it didn't even double.
Ultimately, what they decided to do was to take the girls' schools and pull them together and form a single high school named after Rosati and Kane.
Okay.
And that becomes Rosati Kane High mm-hmm. School. The place where that is located is, of course, right next to the cathedral.
Yes.
That's a beautiful building. A lot of people don't realize that, but that building was designed by Henry Hess, who is that Catholic architect who had done so many wonderful buildings here in the Archdiocese. And so they combined St. Teresa and Francis de Sales together, pulled it together at Rosati Kane, and this is, of course, going to be a girls' school. And it's very unique because the two religious orders continued operating together. And so you had the Notre Dame nuns and the Sisters of St. Joseph, both on the same faculty.
In the same school.
In the same school. That doesn't happen very often.
No, I'm certain it wouldn't. But
yeah. Then he sets up another high school, which is at first called Kenrick High School. However, it's heavily endowed by the McBride family.
Okay.
And if you remember, that's the family that paid for the Pulpitino in the cathedral. $100,000, and that's a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
Well, they did the same thing with McBride High School, so it was renamed after them. Then you have a whole bunch of high schools opened very rapidly. In 1916, Narinx Hall is going to open, Notre Dame in 1920, and St. Dominic's way out in St. Charles County.
Charles, okay.
Yeah, and that's in 1924. Then there's a rash of local parish high schools that are opened. St. Vincent de Paul in Perryville, which is supported by the parish of St. Vincent de Paul.
Okay.
And that's in 1919. The same year, Valley High School is opened in St. Genevieve. I've always found that to be kind of ironic that the public high school is named after a saint, St. Genevieve, and the Catholic high school is named after a wealthy family. Believe it or not, St. Mary's in St. Mary, Missouri, founded a high school, which lasted for 12 years.
Wow.
You know, for that's a pretty small town. St. Anthony of Padua in South St. Louis was opened in 1920, and it continued until 1984. I found that to be interesting. St. John the Baptist began in 1922, and very sadly, that had to close in 2008, mm-hmm. so rather recently. In St. Peter's, Missouri, you had All Saints Parish there. I had a high school that operated from 1921 to 1950. And even the little village of Dutzow on the other side of the river, St. Vincent's, had a high school for 14 years.
Oh, wow.
And it was closed down during the height of the Depression.
Sure. You know?
Yeah. So let's take a look at St. Louis University and what they did with their high school department. First of all, they reestablished the curriculum. They switched it from a preparatory school to a high school in 1903, and it becomes a standard high school curriculum at the time. Eventually, it's going to leave the university campus, and the present campus of St. Louis U High is going to be purchased in 1923. 4 years later, it's going to be partially destroyed by the great tornado of 1927, rebuilt. It becomes financially independent in 1930, and then the enrollment in the 1920s is like 500 students, which is really good.
That's tremendous.
Yeah. And, of course, it has a great reputation. It always has, and it certainly had from the very beginning.
Yes.
Yeah. The other college that I had mentioned was Christian Brothers College.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was operating as a college, but you also had a high school department along with it. And on October 5th of 1916, there was a terrible fire, devastating fire. I believe that it broke out up in the upper part of the building. And I think, at least the fire reports show that it was probably caused by an extension cord.
Oh.
Remember that electricity is pretty new at this point.
Right.
The electricity was down in the basement, and they ran an extension cord all the way up to a lab up in the fifth floor. And anyway, the fire breaks out early in the morning. All the students are down having breakfast. And that's an interesting thing, too, because it was a boarding school.
Okay.
And so breakfast was one of the benefits of being a boarder. And they served buns every day. And so the resident students were known as bun eaters. And
okay.
The day students who came in, they were called the bun stealers.
Oh.
So, yeah. So they're having breakfast, but all of a sudden one of the brothers comes in and orders all of them out to the football field. And they all went out to the bleachers. And then that's when they looked back at their college and saw it inflamed.
Oh.
And it was this just a tremendous, a terrible fire. By the time the fire trucks began arriving, and it just took them 6 minutes between the time the alarm went off and the time they began arriving.
Oh, that's fast.
It is. It was very fast. But they had a shortage of water, they realized right from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
On the roof of the college building itself, there was a 25,000-gallon reserve of water. The brothers had already exhausted that by the time the fire department arrived. It was not very effective.
Oh.
Then, on top of that, the only fire plug on the whole property was located on King's Highway and Easton. Now, that's Martin Luther King today.
Okay.
That one plug, that was it. So it was really, really hard to try to fight this fire, and things had just gone up. Two brothers already had been killed in this fire. They were in the infirmary in the upper rooms. Their nurse was trapped in another room and fell to his death. Later, when the fire seemed to be out, the firefighters went down to check, and a bunch of them went down into the basement. And there they discovered a keg of beer. And one of the brothers came down and told him, oh, you know, you worked really hard. Why don't you go ahead and enjoy a beer? So they're sitting there drinking a beer when the ceiling collapsed
oh, no.
and came down and killed six of them.
Oh.
Yeah, this was one of the worst fires in St. Louis history for fatalities of firefighters. It's the sixth worst in St. Louis history until that year of 1916.
Wow.
An interesting story about beer and at the college. The Brothers community, almost all of them, were reassigned up to Minnesota, okay, to Creighton High School. It's an all-boys school in St. Paul. And these guys, as they were getting older, they would celebrate Friday evenings by getting a keg of beer in. They'd sit around and they'd tell stories about the old college. And it was week after week after week. And the younger brothers said they called it, "Burn the old college down again."
Reliving it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the afternoon of the fire itself, Brother Emery, who was the president of the college, met with Archbishop Glennon, okay, and they agreed to begin a fundraiser to raise money to rebuild the college. There was a certain amount of insurance money that came from that. But the fact of the matter is that the college itself was still in debt. That insurance money went to pay off the debt, to rebuild the college. You
okay.
know? Washington University had a school that was sitting vacant. It's called Smith Academy, and they gave it to the brothers to use at a very low rent. And so they went ahead and did that. The classes never, even after that disaster, they never had any time off from the classes. There were brothers who were conducting the classes out on the bleachers while their college was burning down. And the very next day, they moved into Smith Academy and began classes again.
Wow, that would never happen today.
Oh, no, that's for sure. Well, what they needed was $150,000.
Okay.
And so the very first day, they had a pledge drive on the campus itself. So there you were, 3 days after the fire. The place is still smoldering, and they raised, that one day, they raised $60,000. And then within 2 weeks, it got up to $65,000. And then after that, it just died. Oh. No more money was raised.
Okay.
And so it was really very difficult and discouraging. They sold the property to the city of St. Louis for just under $200,000. And today, that is a recreational park on the corner of Kings Highway and Martin Luther King. The only thing that remains of the campus is, if you drive by, you're going to see a set of steps that goes up, and those are the originals from the 19th century.
The stairs are still there.
Oh, well, the exterior, outdoors. Stairs, yeah. Then. So what they did was they then turned around. The brothers bought property on Clayton Road, and then they brought in, again, Henry Hess to design the school. It's going to be a single building with an attached brother's residence. And the idea was that every year you would add, starting with the freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, and then freshman college. That's how that was going to work. Mm-hmm. In the end, they started then in September of 1922 with 55 boys and a faculty of two brothers.
Oh, okay.
And as time went on, more brothers were assigned to the school. But by the time you get to June of 1926, when they should be announcing the opening of the freshman year of college, they didn't.
Oh.
And they just had a graduation, and the students went elsewhere to other colleges. And quite frankly, the brothers had decided at that point there were just too many Catholic colleges available, and it would be redundant to build a college.
Okay.
So they kept the name, Christian Brothers College. The actual name of the high school is Benildis High School.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's named after a Christian brother who was beatified and now has been canonized. But they kept the name Christian Brothers College High School. The Brothers of Mary also set up, as we said, Chaminade. They were also running St. Peter and Paul High School. And they also set up then a house of formation up in Ferguson that was called Villa St. Joseph.
Okay.
And sure enough, it was 7 years old when it caught fire.
Oh, no.
Yeah. However, it was a much slower fire, and they were able to literally, all the novices and the Brothers of Mary all grabbed furniture and books and everything and took everything out. So the only thing destroyed was the building itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
There they had a difficulty. They had to wait a half an hour for a fire truck to arrive. And it came in from University City.
Wow.
There wasn't anything around.
Wow.
And so as a result, the postulants and novices were then transferred out to Chaminade, where there was plenty of room out there for them. There's an interesting story about when the Brothers of Mary first were interested in coming to St. Louis. And so their provincial came and visited with the Archbishop. That was John Joseph Kane at the time. And he comes and he asks permission to come in. His name is Father George Meyer. And basically, the Archbishop said to him, he said, well, now that I have a rich diocese, you want to come. When I had a poor diocese, when he was Bishop of Wheeling, you refused to come.
Oops.
And so Father Meyer just said to him, he said, Your Grace, don't make me suffer for the sins of my predecessors. And that was enough to convince the Archbishop to let them come into St. Louis. So the Brothers of Mary are staffing Saints Peter and Paul. They also took over St. Anthony of Padua. They're running that. Like I said, Chaminade College, which was actually a high school, but it was also a boarding school. And then they took over, in 1925, they took over McBride High School. The official name is William Cullen McBride High School. Interestingly enough, one of their principals, Father Lawrence Jordan, as early as 1948, began integrating that boys' school, inviting African-American boys to come in, too. That was very early.
Right.
It was way before Brown versus the Board of Education, but it was even before Archbishop Ritter had begun the integration of schools. So that's really that's something quite in itself.
It is.
He was only there for 4 years as principal, but that's probably the one thing that stands out and that he did that.
Yes, great history with that.
So that's basically a look at Catholic high schools. And, you know, we always ask that question.
Where'd
if you're
you
St. Louis, and where'd you go to high school? Well, now we have a little bit of pedigree about
Absolutely.
Where all this come from.
The history, that's a lot of school.
It really
early
is,
on.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Maybe Baltimore maybe would have had more than us. But other
Perhaps.
Than that, I can't imagine anybody had that many more than us.
Yeah, so we'd always had a huge number of Catholic parochial schools.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're getting into an involvement with the high schools in those first two decades of the 20th century.
So we've got a long history of Catholic high schools in St. Louis.
We do. Yeah, that's right.
Devotion to them by many, many people. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun memory of St. Louis.
It's true. I think, unfortunately, those priests, those pastors, had predicted right. Sometimes those high schools have a greater allegiance than they do to the parish. Yeah.
Oh. Well, hopefully the parents don't.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. Shall we close with a prayer and
sure.
your blessing?
Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, Monsignor.
Certainly.